This is the reading starting on page 67 for Fonte Ask the Dusk. Then I felt myself in the big breakers once more, heard them booming louder. It seemed too late. I couldn't swim. My arms were so tired. My right leg ached so much. To breathe was all that mattered. Underwater, the current rushed, rolling and dragging me. So this was the end of Camilla, and this was the end of Arturo Bandini. But even then, I was writing it all down, seeing it across a page in a typewriter, writing it out and coasting along the sharp sand, so sure I would never come out alive. Then I was in water to my waist, limp and too far gone to do anything about it, floundering helplessly with my mind clear, composing the whole thing, worrying about excessive adjectives. The next breaker smashed me under once more, dragged me to water a foot deep, and I crawled on my hands and knees out of water a foot deep, wondering if I could perhaps make a poem out of it. I thought of Camilla out there, and I sobbed and noticed that my tears were saltier than the seawater. But I couldn't lie there. I had to get help somewhere, and I got to my feet and staggered toward the car. I was so cold, and my jaws chattered. I turned and looked at the sea. Not 50 feet away, Camilla waded toward the land and water to her waist. She was laughing, choking from it, the supreme joke she had played, and when I saw her dive ahead of the next breaker with all the grace and perfection of a seal, I didn't think it was funny at all. I walked out to her, felt my strength returning with every step, and when I got to her, I picked her up bodily, over my shoulders, and I didn't mind her screaming, her fingers scratching my scalp and tearing my hair. I lifted her as high as my arms and threw her in a pool of water a few feet deep. She landed with a thud that knocked the breath out of her. I waded out, took her hair in my hands, and rubbed her face and mouth in the muddy sand. I left her there, crawling on her hands and knees, crying and moaning, and I walked back to the car. She had mentioned blankets in the rumble seat. I pulled them out, wrapped myself up, and lay down on the warm sand. In a little while, she made her way through the deep sand and found me sitting under the blankets. Dripping and clean, she stood before me, showing herself, proud of her nakedness, turning round and round. "You still like me?" I stole glances at her. I was speechless, and I nodded and grinned. She stepped upon the blankets and asked me to move over. I made a place, and she slipped under, her body sleek and cold. She asked me to hold her, and I held her, and she kissed me, her lips wet and cool. We lay a long time, and I was worried and afraid and without passion. Something like a gray flower grew between us, a thought that took shape and spoke of the chasm that separated us. I didn't know what it was. I felt her waiting. I drew my hands over her belly and legs, felt my own desire, searched foolishly for my passion, strained for it while she waited, rolled and tore my hair and begged for it. But there was none. There was none at all, only the retreat to Hackmuth's letter and thoughts that remained to be written, but no lust, only fear of her, and shame and humiliation. Then I was blaming and cursing myself, and I wanted to get up and walk into the sea. She felt my retreat. With a sneer, she sat up and began drying her hair on the blanket. "I thought you liked me," she said. I couldn't answer. I shrugged and stood up. We dressed and drove back to Los Angeles. We didn't speak. She lit a cigarette and looked at me strangely, her lips pursed. She blew smoke from her cigarette into my face. I took the cigarette out of her mouth and threw it into the street. She lit another and inhaled languidly, amused and contemptuous. I hated her then. Dawn climbed the mountains to the east, gold bars of light cutting the sky like searchlights. I looked out Hackmuth's letter and read it again. Back east in New York, Hackmuth would just now be entering his office. Somewhere in that office was my manuscript, The Long Lost Hills. Love wasn't everything. Women weren't everything. A writer had to conserve his energies. We reached the city. I told her where I lived. "Bunker Hill," she laughed. "It's a good place for you." "It's perfect," I said. "In my hotel, they don't allow Mexicans." It sickened both of us. She drove to the hotel and killed the engine. I sat wondering if there was anything more to say, but there was nothing. I got out, nodded, and walked toward the hotel. Between my shoulder blades, I felt her eyes like knives. As I got to the door, she called me. I walked back to the car. "Aren't you going to kiss me goodnight?" I kissed her. "Not that way." Her arm slipped around my neck. She pulled my face down and sank her teeth into my lower lip. It stung, and I fought her until I was free. She sat with one arm over the seat, smiling and watching me enter the hotel. I took out my handkerchief and dabbed my lips. The handkerchief had a spot of blood on it. I walked down the gray hall to my room. As I closed the door, all the desire that had not come a while before seized me. It pounded my skull and tingled in my fingers. I threw myself on the bed and tore the pillow with my hands.